pastor for what he stands for. In my book, he's a tremendous preacher of the Word of God. But I love that sweet spirit. Years ago, they taught us a pastor attracts what he is. I've known some pastors who were, can I use this word? Mean-spirited. You ever go hear them preach, your hide's going to be skinned. They're going to work you over. I have nothing against that if the Lord's in it. But I have found mean pastors often draw mean people. A lot of pastors love to sing. I don't have a problem with that. They're singing preachers. They'll seldom preach without playing and singing. I guarantee you, they'll draw a singing congregation. And a sweet pastor, a spirit-filled pastor, to use his very words a moment ago, an anointed pastor. Y'all can say amen. It's sort of bragging on yourself, but you can say amen. He'll draw a sweet congregation. And I believe that's what God's putting together at First Baptist Church in Fletcher, North Carolina. We rejoice in it. We praise the Lord. I have this little poster board. Says Jonah. That's all it's got on it. And a number of question marks under that. That's because this afternoon we have been reading the book of Jonah. I trust repetitively. I noticed coming in a number of you were sitting around the sanctuary reading the Word of God. I hope you weren't reading Isaiah. I hope you were pouring yourself into this great message of this little minor prophet, the book of Jonah. Last year, I preached a series on David's mighty men. Does anybody remember that? We looked at five of David's heroes in his life. David was a mighty man. He attracted mighty men. The year before that, we were not able to have revival because of the pandemic. And yet, Brother Roy asked us to record five DVD sermons, which were played on the website. God honored His Word. I don't think one of those was played, but that I got a host of emails from First Baptist Fletcher people saying how they enjoyed the Word of God, even though remotely delivered. The year before that, let me see if anybody remembers, the birds of the Bible. Anybody remember that one? My favorite's the dove. Then again, it might have been the ostrich. The birds of the Bible. Year before that, Psalm 112, and on back through the years, just verse-by-verse study of the Word of God. Well, I get an amen. That's what's going to get it done. The Word. God honors His Word. I already know one mistake I have made tonight coming to the pulpit. I did not bring my timer. It must be in the car. And so that's either real good news or real bad news. I'll let you decide as the service unfolds. We're in the book of Jonah chapter 1, ready for verse number 4. Verse number 4. And we shall, the Lord willing, cover verses 4 all the way to the end of the chapter. We need to be so that tomorrow night, watch this. In Jonah chapter 1, he is protesting. He doesn't like a thing God's doing. He is protesting. In Jonah chapter 2, he is praying. I urge you, don't miss chapter 2. In Jonah chapter 3, he is preaching. I don't know if he preached all of what God told him, but he is nonetheless preaching. And then I have so many commentaries, so many prayers. Oh, Jonah got it all right. Jonah's got it all together. Well, explain this. In Jonah chapter 4, he is pouting. He's mad at God. God didn't work in ways that suited Jonah. I'm not sure you're right with God if you're upset at God at a given moment. So we continue to watch as Jonah protests. Verse 4. But the Lord sent out a great wind into the sea. Jonah is simply aboard ship. And the Lord sent out a great wind into the sea. Let me read all of verse 4 and then I'll comment on it. And there was a mighty tempest. That word mighty is still the word great. Gadol, G-A-D-O-L in Hebrew. And there was a mighty tempest. The word tempest means whirlwind, cyclone in the sea. So that the ship was alike to be broken. And the verb broken, crushed. This is a terrible, terrible storm. Two things I want to notice. Who sent the storm? The Lord sent the storm. The wording is amazing. He sent out a great wind. The verb send out, it's spelled T-U-L in Hebrew, to, and it means this, hurled. God literally hurled a great tempest out into the sea. Jonah's trying to outrun God, but I really think, can I get an amen? Jonah doesn't outrun God. I think God outruns Jonah here. God's there. And when, can you get that? Hurled. That's important. It's almost a motif in the book of Jonah. Soon, the sailors are going to cast out Jonah into the sea. Same verb, hurled. Hurled. God cast out a great storm. Oh, before they hurled Jonah overboard, they emptied the ship of its cargo. They hurled, same verb, the cargo. Then they hurled Jonah. Oh, get in the picture. There's a lot of hurling going on. And by the time we come to the end of chapter number 2, Jonah's been in the belly of the great fish for 3 days and 3 nights. Someone quipped. Even that fish couldn't stomach a backslidden preacher for more than 3 days and 3 nights. And our King James Bible says the fish vomited Jonah out on the land. It is the Hebrew verb hurled. Somebody asked me the other day, and I shouldn't bring it up, was it projected? Was there a projectile? Did he just spit him out, or did he... The verb is hurled. You draw your own conclusions, if you will. It is a general running theme, but it starts with God hurling. Does anybody believe God controls the weather? God sends the storm. And a mighty tempest, I think I've described that. So the ship was like to be crushed and broken. All we know now, God has sent a storm. Jonah's still on board ship. In fact, verse 5. Then the mariners, sailors, the crew, one time, the word mariners in our King James Bible is translated with the word salt, a term that was originally used early on in America. Sailors were called salts. That old salt It comes from this word miracle. They're the crew aboard the ship. Not only is the Bible right when it speaks doctrinally, I'll take an amen, it's right when it speaks in every other area as well, including the customs aboard ship in these days. And verse 5, the mariners were afraid. Oh, let me say this real quick. It's one thing for Jonah to be afraid. The Jews are not sea-going people. Never built on their own a ship. Solomon would sail the seas, but largely using the commercial enterprises of other nations. And one thing for Jonah to be afraid. It's another thing for the mariners to be afraid. I flew back, had to get home from Charlotte, a revival in Charlotte. Thunderstorms just dotting the area. I was flying into Atlanta. And the pilot all the way did a majestic job dodging those thunderstorms. We were this way. We were that way. We'd go up. I'm sure he had clearance to do it. We were down. It would shake and he would dodge again. And an unusual thing on the plane, folks who were passengers became fearful. There was a lady screaming. I heard somebody say, if I ever get off this one, I'll never get on another one. Oh, Lord, if you'll deliver me. Finally, they landed in Atlanta. I found the captain. I wanted to talk to him. I said, that was a wonderful job of flying. He looked at me. He smiled and he said something like this. Nothing to it. Nothing to it. Passengers were scared. The pilot, nothing to it. Here is a different story. I mean, the crew, those who do this for a living, they themselves are afraid in the storm that God has sent. Oh, look, verse 5. They were afraid and they cried every man unto his God. The implication is that each man had a different God. I used this morning the word polytheistic. That's a society. Poly means many. They have many gods they worship. I read this afternoon, just brushing up, preacher, these seamen would have had at least three main gods on whom they would be calling in this storm. But I want to make an announcement. They don't know the God that controls the weather. They don't know the God that can bring calm. Aren't you glad we do tonight? Wait a minute. You're calling every man who is on God. And it got so bad. They cast forth the wares that were in the ship, largely the cargo, could have even included some of the tackle into the sea to lighten it. They're lightening. They've gone down into the cargo hole and they're throwing the word five times in our King James by the furniture, the cargo overboard. And look what it says at the end of verse 5. Jonah was gone down. I preached on that this morning. Jonah was gone down into the sides of the ship. And he lay, you tell me, and he, I need two words, and he was what? Fast asleep. I don't think they would have found him. I believe he's gone down into the belly of that ship, down where the cargo was positioned, and he's laid down, and he's absolutely in a deep sleep. And Brother Gunn, as they begin to jettison the cargo, as they begin to move the crates and the boxes and the, I think they see two legs over here. They say, my goodness, to whom do these belong? And they move another box and there he is. There is that man who has bought a ticket to sail to the distant land of Tarshish. Let me tell you something. The best I can determine, I try to read the manners and customs books and of the day. The best I can determine, these ships do not sail on a precise schedule. One port of call, another. They are owned likely by the Phoenicians a seagoing people, and it would often take 1 year. Listen to that. 1 year to get from Joppa and all the stopovers to finally get to Tarshish. And I think that satisfied Jonah no end. God thinks He's sending me to Nineveh to preach the Word of God. I bought me a ticket. I'm getting on a boat. He won't know where I am for a year. I am scot-free for a year. I think you'd say, wrong. Wrong. God knows where we are at any given moment. Verse 6, the shipmaster came to him. The name for shipmaster, Rab, R-A-B, it means the big one, the great one, the man in charge. And I think this shipmaster is an admirable. I don't know if I ought to say it. I admire the shipmaster in this account more than I admire Jonah. The shipmaster is a man of character. He will do everything he can not to lose one soul aboard his vessel during this terrible storm. Watch him as he operates. The shipmaster came, said to him, "What meanest thou, O sleeper?" Oh my, what meanest thou, O sleeper? If there's one thing a Christian should not be called, it's a sleeper, lethargic, lazy, lukewarm. We ought to be wide awake. We ought to be occupied. I need an amen till our Lord comes again. Oh, sleeper. I presume tonight I am speaking to largely born again men and women. I would imagine the vast majority of you have been saved and have a good account of your salvation. I'm not asking you if you're saved tonight or not. I'm asking you, are you asleep tonight? Are we getting lukewarm tonight? Are we getting a little bit lazy on the things of God tonight? Awake thou, O sleeper. I'd rather heard him say, O preacher, O prophet of God, O sleeper, rise, call on thy God. Rise and call on thy God. That's the first command God gave Jonah early in chapter 1. Rise. Rise. Go to Nineveh. Preach to them there. If you won't obey God's rise, He'll send somebody else along in your life and you'll obey their arise one way or another. That's what I'm trying to say. If we don't obey God, He'll catch up with us. He'll give us a paddling and we'll still probably have to obey Him. Arise, O sleeper. Arise, O Jonah. Call upon, look at there, thy God. Call upon thy God. They're calling on their gods. Call upon thy God. I don't know what time is doing. I already said I don't have a way of judging it tonight, but I really ought to. Where does it say they called upon their gods? Verse 5. They cried every man unto his God. Would you notice something about the word God? The mariners are crying every man to his God. Is it a big G or is it a little G? You're right. It's a little G. But now, in verse 6, arise, O sleeper, and call upon thy God. Big G or little G? Tell me, please. That's a big one. That's a capital G. And yet, get this. It is the same Hebrew word, Elohim. Call upon thy gods, the shipmaster said, Elohim. Jonah, call upon thy God. It's capitalized this time, and it's still Elohim. Let me talk to you about that name, Elohim. And it's where the liberals criticize our theology. They say that God's name Elohim, used here, by the way, it's used 2,600 plus times in the Old Testament. Usually translated God like it is here, capital G, little O, little D, God.
Here's what El means. Strength and might and power. Sister Sandra, these sailors had their gods. And their gods to them had strength and might and power. Brother David, they had a god of the wind. They're praying for him to calm down. They had a god of the ocean. They're asking him not to devour and demolish them. They had a god of luck. They're praying for fortune to fall their way. El, it means the powerful one. But I gotta say this, y'all help me out if you will. Their gods of power, Elohim, cannot match our God of power, big God, Elohim. I didn't say that word. Their God's got power. Our God's got almighty power. All power. He's an omnipotent God. Hallelujah. Something else about Elohim. The big G God. Jonah's God. Our God tonight. El, might, and power, and strength. If you say amen, it'll save me 5 minutes of explaining. There's nothing our God can't do. And then Elohim, Elohim. In English, we generally pluralize a noun by adding S. Pew, pews. In Hebrew, they do not add an S. They add that I-M, that E sound. Elohim. Oh my goodness. Preacher, you're really digging a hole for yourself. You're about to say this word means gods. Jonah, call on your gods. And it is plural. It is plural. It can't be changed. But, need an amen again, we don't worship many gods. Well, I need a better amen than that. We worship one God. Then why is it plural? Because our one God presents Himself as Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. We are already getting hints of the Trinity. We got it a lot earlier than Jonah, but already Jonah's early among the minor prophets. We're already getting hints of the Trinity. I'm glad God the Father loved me. I'm glad Jesus, God the Son, died to save me, shed His blood, and I'm glad the Holy Ghost put me under conviction and drew me to Calvary. Hallelujah. Call on your God. If so be, God will think upon us that we perish not. That we perish not. That's the same verb. We're going Hebrew to Greek, but that's the same verb. Whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. For God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish. Should not perish. You believe on Him, you'll never go to hell. Hallelujah. The idea, would you call upon your God? Maybe He will think upon us. You see, they are very tolerant as far as their gods are concerned. I'll pray to my God. You pray to your God. Jonah, get your God in our... Who knows what God might do? Well, I'll say this, if you'll smile at me. They hooked up to the right God on one of those accounts. The God of heaven and the God of earth, that we perish not. I wish I had time to talk about that verb, to think. Maybe God will think upon us. Talk to me. Does anybody believe God's thought about us today? Does anybody believe God, the Son, Jesus, at the Father's right hand, has prayed for us today? He ever lived. Hebrews 7:25. To make intercession for us. The verb here, to think, to shine upon. To shine upon. Preacher, you're so right about that anointing business. If God's in something, He knows how to shine upon it. He knows how to smile upon it. He knows how to honor and bless it. Maybe God will think upon us. I'm glad for the day He thought on me and saved my soul from a devil's hell. Verse 7. I've got to speed up, I realize. They said, everyone
to his fellow. What a word that is. I can't talk about it. The sailor said, everyone to his fellow, come, let us cast lots, that we may know for whose cause this evil has come upon us. That word evil, ra, R-A, pronounced R-A-H. It can mean sin in its worst form. And in Jonah, it also can mean catastrophe, disaster, an absolutely reversal of normal sense. And they're using it here in the catastrophe sense. It might be that we'll know for whose cause this evil is cast. So they cast lots. I need to cover a 7-minute subject, casting lots, in 2 minutes. What does it mean? That has nothing to do with a paradise rolling and hoping. Usually they had a little bag with pebbles. Now you can let the pebbles be any color you want. It can be all black pebbles with one white one. It can be all white pebbles with one black one. I'm not going to... And every man would draw out a pebble. Go all the way around. Everybody aboard ship. One account this afternoon said they didn't let the men draw out. That's human. They'd shake the bag and let something fall out the top. That'd be divine. Their gods chose that. But, innocent, not him. And guess what? When it came to Jonah, you will not believe what happened. The lot fell upon Jonah and identified him as the culprit. Can I make an announcement? If God wants you, He'll get you. One way or another, He will do it. Now I have to address this. We don't believe in casting lots today to determine the will of God. Pretty weak, amen. Why don't we believe in casting lots? Let me go first. We don't believe in consulting a horoscope to determine the will of God for our lives. How do we know the will of God for our lives? I almost want to do it without saying a word. You'll say amen, I won't add to it. We've got the completed, revealed Word of God. How many of you believe the Bible is a completed book? It's got 66 books. If somebody comes along this week and tells you they found a 67th, don't believe it. Don't have anything to do with it. Jude said the Word, the faith, has been once for all delivered under God's saints. That, the will of God, the way of God, I need an amen, is found in the Word of God. We don't need casting lots. We don't need to draw straws. Well, I'll get in trouble. We just need God's Word interpreted by the Holy Ghost to give us direction. The lot fell upon Jonah. Verse 8. They said unto him, tell us, we pray thee, for whose cause this evil is upon us. What's your occupation? Whence comest thou? What is your country? What people are there? That is a barrage of questions. He has been identified as the one against whom God is angry. He is the one chosen by their method of determining these men, by the casting of lots. Who are you? Where you come from? What is your occupation? You know what I wish he would have said? I'm a prophet. I'm a prophet of God. He sent me on the mission. Look through the whole response. Not one mention of him being a prophet. I believe he's running from his calling. Does not want anything to do. But verse 9. He said unto them, I'm a Hebrew. That's usually the way a Jew identified himself to the Gentiles. I am a Hebrew. Let me take 30 seconds. Tell you what that name Hebrew means. It comes from a root verb, abar.
A-B-A-R. Get this now. And a bar means to pass from here over to here. From here over to here. Let me tell you how it's used in the book of Exodus. And I, when I say the blood, I will pass over you. That sort of makes me have real respect for the blood. Amen. Because where the blood's not applied, there'll be death to the firstborn child. God left from here over to here. That's the word Hebrew. Probably because God picked Abraham up in a Gentile, filthy, Ur of the Chaldees, going to set him down in the Holy Land. One of these. Aren't you glad God picked you up out of the mess you were in, carried you by Calvary, and has set you down on the solid rock tonight? I'm a Hebrew, and I fear the Lord, the God of heaven, who made the sea and the dry land. I'm going to show you something. Usually we'd say He made the dry land and the sea. This is reversed. Why would Jonah want to say He made the sea and the dry land? Because it's the sea that's acting up. It's the sea that is in turmoil. It's the sea that is the issue that will kill these men. He made the sea and the dry land. Does anybody believe God created the heavens and the earth? Jonah's at least a creationist. He's a backslidden creationist, but he's a creationist. He's running from his God. I've got to show you one more thing in this verse. I fear the Lord. I fear the Lord. The verb fear is yare. I won't define it now. It means to be scared of. But it also carries the idea to be reverent toward. Even to the point of worship at times. I fear the Lord. I fear the Lord. Y'all hear me. Speech is cheap. Backing it up with life is another matter. It's easy to say, I love the Lord. I fear the Lord. I reverence the Lord. But Jonah's saying, I'm not going to obey you. I'm not going to Nineveh. I shall not yield myself to his plan and his... If you really love him, if I really fear him, if I really worship him, I'm going to need an amen. I guess I'll really obey him and do what he asked me to do. Verse 10. The men were exceedingly afraid. Now watch that. They're more fearful now than ever. Exceedingly. They were greatly afraid. They said, why hast thou done this? The men knew that he fled from the presence of the Lord because he had told them. Verse 11. Then said they unto him, what shall we do unto thee, that the sea may be calm unto us? For the sea wrought and was tempestuous. Brother Roy, this is the second time the sea is wrought and is tempestuous. Every time that sequence, that chain of words is used, the storm's getting worse. The storm's getting worse. The more they debate, the longer they wait to react. This thing is intensifying around them. The tempest is worsening. What shall we do? Verse 12. And he said unto them, take me up, cast me forth into the sea, and the sea will be calm unto you. For I know that for my sake, this great tempest is upon you. That's verse 12. Leave verse 12 up for me just a moment, if you will. Thank you. Yes, thank you. Jonah is running from Nineveh. He doesn't want to preach to a bunch of filthy Gentiles in Nineveh. He's a Jew. He considers all Gentiles nothing but filthy, low-down dogs, deserving of God's wrath and hell. And guess where God puts him? On a ship. On a boat. I'm going to need a smile. Manned by Gentiles.
Gentiles that worship every god you can imagine. And then Jonah has to do a little preaching to them. I'm a Jew. I'm a Hebrew. I serve the Lord, Almighty God. And we can run from pastoring many, many, many years. Somebody would say, preacher, I'm going to leave the church. That's what they'll say. I love you. You're a wonderful preacher. You'll always be my preacher. But I'm going to leave. That is a funny way of showing your preacher you love him. But there's a situation here. There's a lady here, a man here, and we feel like we have to move on. I want you to hear Brother Bagwell. You can move on. You can find another church. But the problem you've been running from in this church, I won't get any amens. I'd appreciate two, but I doubt it. It'll be waiting on you at the next church. You're going to have to work that problem out. There's no need to run. There's no need to flee. Jonah ran from God going to Nineveh, and God put him in a miniature Nineveh right on the shipboard, and he had to tell him about God. I just obey him in the first place, I believe. Oh, take me up, cast me into the sea, and the sea will be calm for my sake. This has happened to you. I got to show you something. Here is a Jew saying, this ship's going down. Everybody's going to die. Everybody will perish. There's only one solution. I have got to die. Pick me up. Throw me overboard. And you will live. I may be reading too much in this. I know another Jew who came to this earth. And there were Gentiles all around him that were wicked, low down, hell bound. We're all going to perish. And there's only one way we could be spared. There's only one way. Are y'all with me? There's only one way we could live. The Jew has got to die. The Son of God has got to die. And die he did on Calvary. And he shed his blood. And now Gentiles, whosoever will. Thank you. I think here, he's a beautiful type of our Lord and Savior. Verse 13, I've got to hurry. Can anybody give me a rough idea of how long I've been preaching? Well, I knew it had flown by, but I didn't realize it's just 5 minutes. Can y'all go 15 more minutes? That'll be a 20-minute sermon. I kid. It helps to know I will not be without my time or tomorrow. I believe God's given me the strength. I think I could go another hour. I shall not. But I think I could go, well, let me change another hour. I'm sure I hadn't gone an hour. I think I could go an hour. But I want to quit preaching before you quit listening. Y'all are scared to say anything, aren't you? And so that's why I'm concerned about the time. They didn't want to cast him in verse 13. Nevertheless, the men rowed hard. Sails aren't working. The wind's not quiet. They rowed hard. That verb rowed means digged. They digged into that tempestuous ocean to bring it to land, but they could not. Wonder why. They could not. God's not going to let that thing go to land. For the sea wrought and was tempted. That is the third time the storm has become all the more fierce. Verse 14. Wherefore they cried unto the Lord. Whoa. They cried unto the Lord. And again, leave that for me just a few minutes, if you will. They cried. They, that's the sailors. They, the mariners. Notice to whom they're praying. They cried. It doesn't say God with a little g this time. They cried unto the Lord, need an amen, and that's a big L this time. They've heard about the God who made the earth. And he made the heaven. And this fella, he's a Hebrew, But he says, that God sent a storm. And they cried unto the Lord. Something is happening aboard this ship. Anybody believe the Holy Ghost can go out in the middle of the Mediterranean Ocean in the middle of a storm and start stirring hearts for the glory of God? I gotta stop just a minute and tell you something. God gives different preachers with different abilities. I have no doubt about that. No two preachers are the same. I knew a man of God. He's in heaven now. He was an evangelist. God gifted him with the ability to raise funds to help missionaries across the world, to help keep a gospel tent every summer up, 3,000 people a night packing up. God gifted him the area of raising money for the cause of Christ. I admire that. I don't have that gift. I admire that. God gifted Jonah with the ability to win souls. God gifted Jonah with the ability to win souls. Somebody smile at me. Wait. Everywhere he went, people got saved. If he didn't even want them to get saved, everywhere he went, people got saved. And I'm telling you, I'll finish up to these men. Something's changing. They're praying to a different God. The Holy Ghost is beginning to touch and warm their heart. I mean, even aboard ship, Jonah hated them. I think one reason Jonah didn't jump in, that would solve the problem. He wants them to throw him in. He wants them to be guilty. He wants the wrath of God to fall on them. Maybe they'll be convicted of murder in the court of heaven. He despises them. And yet as Jonah's going bloop, 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 further down into the ocean, these men, I need an amen, they're getting born again by the grace of God. And I guess you've read chapter 4 by now. It was part of our homework. When he goes to Nineveh and he tells them God's wrath going to fall in 40 days. But you know what happened to the city of Nineveh? I'll declare, I need an amen, they got saved too. Everywhere he goes, somebody, and there have been people getting saved through the life and ministry of Jonah ever since. Oh my, oh me aboard. Verse 14, they cried unto the Lord. We beseech thee, O Lord. Anah, it's a Hebrew particle that indicates a wish, a desire. We beseech thee, O Lord. That's the second time the Lord is used. We beseech thee, let us not perish for this man's life. Lay not upon us innocent blood. Oh boy. Even those heathen that long ago had a respect for innocent blood. What does that mean? You don't kill somebody who's not guilty of an infraction. You don't kill an innocent man. You take and shed innocent blood, you're in trouble with God. God will judge you mercilessly. That was that heathen ethic. And here we are, somebody won't like this, in the United States of America. And since 1973, we have aborted, I'm going to change words, we have murdered over 60 million babies in their mother's womb. If that's not innocent blood, I don't know what innocent blood. Can I get an amen somewhere? God help America. For the innocent blood we have shed. Lord, we don't want to be guilty of shedding innocent blood. Verse 15, we're about through. Can you go back to verse 14? I'm so sorry. Well, they're good back there. I have called for verses before and 5 minutes later they appeared. Sharp. Thank y'all. Let us not perish for the, and may not. For thou, O Lord, hast done as it pleased thee. How long have they been saved?
I think maybe 5 minutes. I'll show you more evidence, Lord willing, soon. And yet, having been born again for 5 minutes, they said, Lord, we don't know what to tell you to do. It's beyond us to dictate your will. Lord, you just, I need an amen, you just do whatever pleases you. Isn't that what Mary the Virgin said? You're going to have a baby. You'll be mocked. You'll be ridiculed. There'll be a sword pierced through your heart because of Him. He's God the Son. Be it unto me according to Thy Word. Lord, whatever pleases You. Every one of us, either at the altar, in our pew, by our beds tonight when we retire, we ought to say, Lord, do with me what pleases You. Bring about in my life what will put a smile on. We ought to live, Paul said, for the approval of God. We ought to live to please Him. So they took up Jonah, verse 15. Cast him, y'all get the word, hurled him into the sea. And the sea ceased from her raging. Here's a man, a runaway prophet, wrong way Jonah, he's sometimes called. And when he came in contact with the sea calmed and was still. I know another Jew. I know another man. And he had the Spirit of God as a dove. That's what descended on him. And more than once, I need an amen, he came in contact with a roaring ocean, with a fierce storm, and he, amen, calmed the seas. Jonah's thrown in, and the sea ceased from her raging. Verse 16, and we'll be through in verse 17. And the men feared the Lord exceedingly. That word feared, I'll have to do it here. Yare, reverence, adored, worshipped. And the men worshipped the Lord exceedingly. Gadol, to a great degree, with all of their hearts. If you ever get to the place you worship Him, and you do it exceedingly, and you do it obsessively, I hope I get an amen. That sounds like something's happened in your heart. They worship, they fear exceedingly, and they offer a sacrifice unto the Lord. They offered a sacrifice. That means they took an animal. Thank you. My wife has an elaborate system of signals she gives me. Couldn't figure that one out. It's going like this. The microphone had come loose. And they offered a sacrifice, better sounding. And they offered a sacrifice to the Lord. Somewhere on board. And I'm sure this lamb or this goat was meant for Baal or for Molech or for Aphrodite. But this lamb now is going to be offered sacrifice to the King of Kings and to the Lord of Lords. They don't know the theology yet. They're offering a blood of a lamb here on a boat. A storm has come, looking forward to the day when God would send a lamb to die on Calvary that sinners might be saved. Looks like they've been born again. And they made vows. I can't talk. And they made vows. Can y'all go about 3 more minutes? I need a few more of y'all to be able to go 3 more minutes. Not that long, you know. And they made vows. Never anywhere in the Bible is a vow required. It's not. It's always voluntary. It's always something you do because you want to show a little more love. You want to go the extra mile. They made vows.
That they like getting saved, but this won't get any mileage. I probably won't get an amen. If you just nod or wink at me, it'll be fine. That's like getting saved one day and starting tithing the next. They made vows. They're going the second mile for the Lord God. Oh, my, something's happened aboard ship. Last verse. Now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah. Jonah was in the belly of the fish. We'll have to look at this tomorrow night. 3 days and three nights. I got to ask it again. How many of you believe that really happened? That's not a fish tale. That is a fact of Bible history. What did he do in the belly of that whale tomorrow night? We know he prayed some. Not the best prayer in the Bible. Best prayer in the Bible, I think, is John 17. Jesus' great high priestly prayer. Not the best prayer. But he prayed, and we'll study that prayer tomorrow. But the key may be 3 days and three nights. Preacher, I asked for 3 minutes. I've used them up. I try to keep my word. I need 5 more. We'll spend those tomorrow night. I want to tell you why. 3 days and three nights. He's in the belly of that great fish. And then God will bring him up. Have the fish spit him out on the land. And then we'll see Tuesday night what Jonah does after that. I don't think he's yet where God wants him to be, or he wouldn't grumble and complain like he did in chapter number 4. I said it this morning. It's my last sentence of the sermon. God had to expend more energy on a backslidden, stubborn, wayward servant than he did getting the storm in place. Than he did getting in a crew of Gentiles saved. Than he did in getting the whole city to turn and repent from their sins. Take that ending. Focus it in your life. Is he pleased with you? Are you living for him tonight? And if not, here's an altar. Aren't you glad he's a forgiving God? May we bow our heads and close our eyes while our musicians come. They will play an invitation hymn for us this evening. Could we stand across the congregation, standing together? They're on their way to the instruments. Long way down this beautiful sanctuary. It'll take them a few seconds. Even before they strike the first note. Anybody want to use the altar a minute? Lord, don't let me be a sleeper. Don't let me be cold or indifferent. Lord, don't even let me be lukewarm in my Christian life. You're doing right. Just follow the leadership of the Lord. Anybody tonight will say, Lord, I want to obey you, not disobey you. God may be, I would not be surprised. God's speaking to someone in this very congregation. Maybe about a life work. Obey Him. Maybe about a life partner. Don't make a mistake there. Be sure you've got God's mind and God's heart. Maybe about some vocational or financial decision. God can lead every area of our lives. I surrender all. I surrender all. What kind of witness am I being to those around me? How about you? Do they know our occupation? Do they know our Savior? Do they know our relationship with Him? Or have we kept it hidden? Oh Lord, work. Through your word, we pray. God, I would ask through this meeting, this week, save some lost soul. I would ask that you would minister each of our hearts and draw us closer, closer unto Thee. Oh, we'll thank you. We'll praise you for it. Lord, teach us more about Jonah this week. Show us little nuggets of truth that'll help us not this week, but next week, next month, next year. Keep on serving you. Keep on it. When the book of Jonah ends, you cannot find him one more time in the Bible. Jesus alludes to him. We'll look at that one night. But never again is he mentioned. He leaves the scene pouting, frustrated, bitter and angry at Almighty God. God, deliver us from that kind of an attitude. I appreciate your responding. Appreciate your willingness to use the altar. I understand we can pray in our pews, but you never know what an encouragement that is to the preacher. Somebody sincerely wanting to do something for the Lord. Anybody believe God can change lives through the book of Jonah? Absolutely. No doubt about it. We still have folks praying. I bless the good name of the Lord. Preacher, come on if you will. And again, there are folks who are praying. We're going to be reverent of that.